Dit is Hour of Power. En weet je wat ik zo leuk vind, beste kijkers van Hour of Power? Dat ik door de week een heleboel kijkers tegenkom in een supermarkt of ergens op ontmoetingen. En dan altijd weer hoor wat Hour of Power mag betekenen. En ook vanmorgen hebben we weer bijzondere verhalen van mensen die aangeraakt zijn door liefde met een hoofdletter. En daarover spreekt ook Bobby Schuller in Shepherd Grove, in zijn serie over de psalmen. Over David, de herdersjongen die eigenlijk een onbeduidend kereltje was en uiteindelijk de koning van Israël werd. En zo kan God iedereen op zijn eigen plekje gebruiken. Veel muziek ook, en mijn gast van morgen is Mark van den Berg. Mark, goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen.
David is een rolmodel. Jij hebt je leven lang met rolmodellen gezeten, die je de verkeerde kant op duwden. Je hebt in het criminele circuit gezeten, je bent zwaar verslaafd geweest. Nou, en leven vol ellende, maar nu een leven vol vreugde.
Amen.
En daar gaan we zo meteen over praten. Ja. Hartstikke goed dat je er bent.
Ja.
Ik zit te kijken naar die mooie blauwe dingen.
Ja.
Geweldig. Ja. Nou, Hour of Power, dat is een platform voor mensen die geloven dat God bestaat. En wie je ook bent, waar je ook vandaan komt, wat mensen ook over je zeggen of over je denken. Er is er één die je vasthoudt en dat is God. En daarover gaat Hour of Power.
In 1970, a television program debuted that changed the way millions of people looked at faith. The Hour of Power.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice.
Featuring the ministry of Robert Schuller, taught a generation that through God's love, your scars can be turned into stars. It was an idea that launched the most popular inspirational television program of its time. And today, the Hour of Power continues with a new voice for a new generation.
When you put your trust in God, nothing can stop you.
Pastor Bobby Schuller will encourage you and share a message that can give you a new perspective on life. Because whatever your circumstance or the obstacles you face, this moment can be your Hour of Power.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Yes, and know that God's love for you reaches to the heavens. His faithfulness for you reaches to the sky. If you turn around and shake the hands of the person next to you and say, God loves you and so do I.
Let's just begin with a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful that you've called us here. We believe that your Holy Spirit is present. We believe that you have a word for everyone in this church and everyone watching on television. We know, God, that nothing is happening by accident, that if we open our hearts, you can touch us in a deep and profound way. And so we're asking for that, trusting in that. Lord, we thank you for everything you've done for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Oh,
may be seated. In preparation for this morning's message, the words of our Lord. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. May we be people who never lose our thirst and our longing for our God.
My guest today is Dr. Dave Martin, and he's known by many around the world as America's number one Christian success coach. His passion to teach others how to walk in the fullness of God's plan by possessing and teaching the scriptural keys to biblical success. Would you please welcome with me Dr. Dave Martin?
Hi, thank Dave. You. Hey, thank you. So good to be here.
Dave is an awesome guy. We had a chance to hang out in Houston. We actually met at Lakewood, and which is a... I just felt like we really hit it off. We've become good friends since
and
met at different leadership things. But I just thought, he's got an amazing story, and he's now touching so many lives. Let's just begin there. What do you do?
Well, I try to help people. I try to, what you just said at the very beginning, this is the day that the Lord has made, you know. Let's celebrate. I'm just trying to get people to understand life is a gift.
Yeah.
And it's meant to be unwrapped. Gifts are meant to be unwrapped. I couldn't think of anything worse than getting a gift and not unwrapping it, you know. And every one of us, I mean, this gift called life, God picked it out just for you.
There's a lot of people feeling like victims out there. There's, and it just seems like a lot of times people are the opposite of of motivating, right? Like, people are getting really dark nowadays and really negative. Do you think that there's still, seems like there now more than ever, there's a need for positive people?
Oh, yeah, and it's work, you know, and it's teaching people.
Say that again, it's work.
It's work, it is. I was born a pessimist.
Yeah.
I wasn't born an optimist. Even my blood type is B negative. You know, so it's something you got to work on every single day. Yeah. And a lot of times, you know, people thought that scripture said, be transformed by the removal of your mind, but it actually, it says by the renewal of your mind. It's a change in the way we think. And that's what it is, possibility thinking. It's working continually on our thinking to see that with God, all things are possible.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm excited to be a part of just helping people, like you said, realize that this is the day. You know, it's yesterday's over, tomorrow's not here. All we've got is today.
You know, one of the things my grandpa talked about a lot that I realized, like, when he talks about being positive and being a possibility thinker, he used to tell me, you know, Bobby, all I'm doing is taking this very, you know, weighty word faith that doesn't connect often with secular people and teaching them that faith is something for them today. And that's really what you're doing. You're teaching on faith. You were involved with the Ultimate Life Conference. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, Ultimate Life Conference, a conference we do every year in Orlando for Christian business leaders.
Yeah.
Just to come together, and ultimate means the best. Life is a way of living.
Yeah.
So the ultimate life is the best way of living. And just trying to help people understand that there's principles. Here's a big thing. There's a difference between the person of Jesus and the principles of Jesus. The person of Jesus prepares us for heaven. The principles of Jesus prepares for earth.
Yeah.
And there are ungodly men who will use godly principles to achieve ungodly results. While the church, we don't know the principles, or we ignore the principles sometimes and wonder why we struggle.
Yeah.
And so in that conference, we just come bring people together for 3 days. We coach them and help them to live the ultimate life, the best way of living. And doesn't mean things are going to be perfect.
Yeah, of course.
You know, we find that out. You've ever been on an airplane that hit turbulence, you know. What do? You know, people pray, they buckle up, but no one gets off the plane. You know, they're not like, I'm out of here, this is too much, you know. And it's the same in life. Things get bumpy sometimes. I was on a flight the other day with a lady. She goes, I've never flown before. I said, it's okay, I'm on the plane, it'll be fine. She said, we talked for a few minutes. I fell asleep, and we hit some turbulence. It started getting bumpy. She starts hitting me. She goes, hey, wake up. I'm like, huh? She's like, do something. I was like, what do you want me to do? She goes, I don't know. Aren't you a preacher? I'm like, well, I'm kind of a preacher, but I'm not a pilot. You know? She's like, I don't know. She goes, just do something religious. And so I got up and took an offering, is what I thought that was a good thing to do. You know? But in life, you know, the Bible says you got trials, tribulations. You go through some things, but it says, be of good cheer. He's already overcome the world. Proud that a power to harm you and have conquered it for you. That's good news right there.
Well, Dave, you're changing lives, and I particularly love how you really speak to businessmen because you really see how Christianity and business intertwine.
Yes.
That's awesome. So you have a new book coming out called Another Shot.
It's a plan for how to rebound, how to come back from setbacks in life, whether it's in business, whether it's in relationships, whatever it may be. We've all had some setbacks, some struggles. And through the book, I'm just trying to coach people that they can come back. It's not over until he says it's over.
Amen.
And so how to come back and take another shot at life.
Dave, you've got, you know, millions of people listening to you around the world. If you were to say one thing to this, you know, there's so many people that are listening, they're not religious or they're having a rough time in life. What would you say to them?
I just want you to know that the rest of your life is going to be the best of your life. And I'd get you to just keep saying that over and over because, as a matter of fact, just say it right now, right there. Say, the rest of my life.
The rest of my life
will be the best of my life.
Will be the best of my life.
And keep saying it, because what you continually hear, you'll eventually believe. If you've heard your whole life, you'll never make anything of yourself. You're dumb. Whatever. You'll start believing those kind of things. But if you keep hearing, the rest of your life will be the best of your life. Jesus came that we might have life. He didn't come that we might make a living.
Yeah.
He came that we might have life, have it in abundance to the full, till it overflows.
Amen. Dave Martin, thank you so much for being with us. Let's give him a hand. We're so glad that you're here.
Thank you,
God bless you.
lead me to thy bosom, fly. While the nearer waters roll and the tempest still is high, hide me, oh my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past, safe into the haven guide. Oh, receive my soul at last. Plenteous grace with thee is found, grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams abound, make me, keep me pure.
Dat was de blinde zanger Ken Miedema. En wat kan die fantastisch en bevlogen en bewogen zingen. Heer, laat me bij u schuilen totdat de stormen van mijn leven voorbij zijn. Jesus, lover of my soul. Ik vind het echt fantastisch. Hey, Mark, goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen.
Jij hebt een leven geleefd dat eigenlijk in vier levens past. Laten we eens bij het begin beginnen.
Ja.
Opgegroeid in een christelijk gezin.
Ja.
En toen zei je adieu God.
Ja, uiteindelijk heb ik God de rug toegekeerd, omdat ik teleurgesteld was in christenen. Ik was teleurgesteld in mezelf en dat heeft ervoor gezorgd dat ik op een gegeven moment mijn heil ben gaan zoeken in van alles en nog wat.
Wat was van alles en nog wat?
Nou ja, uiteindelijk ben ik bij de drugs terechtgekomen en dat begon met een blootje toen ik 14 was. En dat is van kwaad tot erger gegaan. Op mijn 15 heb ik voor het eerst ecstasy gebruikt en speed. Nou, en zo is dat steeds erger geworden eigenlijk. Wiet lijkt in eerste instantie vrij onschuldig. Alleen ik ben er hartstikke verslaafd aan geweest. En het heeft ook mede geholpen dat de stap naar harddrugs kleiner is geworden. En als je ook ziet wat wiet op de lange termijn met je doet, dan is het zeker wel in mijn opinie een harddrugs.
Je was verslaafd aan drugs. Dat ging gepaard met wilde feesten, punk, hard rock, noem maar op. Maar je bent ook in psychoses terechtgekomen. Wat is dat nou in een psychose terechtkomen?
Hoe ik het ervaren heb, zeg maar, is dat het op een gegeven moment gekomen is doordat ik 5 nachten lang wakker ben geweest en veel drugs heb gebruikt. En dat heeft zo aanslag gehad op mijn psyche dat ik op een level terechtkwam waar je als normaal mens gewoon niet hoort te zijn. Ik geloof, en dat Hoe het bij een ander zit, dat weet ik niet. Maar ik weet van mezelf dat ik me openstelde voor de geestelijke wereld. En ik geloof gewoon dat er engelen zijn. Ik geloof dat er demonen zijn. En ik geloof dat er een realiteit is die wij niet met onze ogen kunnen zien. En op een gegeven moment, als je drugs gebruikt, stel je je daarvoor open. En op die manier heeft de Satan gewoon mijn kijk op de wereld kunnen verknippen. Waardoor ik psychotisch ben geworden. Ja.
Heftig, hè?
Ja.
Op een gegeven moment kom je in een situatie dat je denkt, ja, jongens, als het nu niet verandert, mm-hmm. dan wordt het me dood.
Ja.
Wat ben je gaan doen? Wat ben je gaan zoeken?
Om hulp te zoeken, ja? Om eruit te komen. Ja? Ik moet eigenlijk zeggen dat vanaf mijn 14e ben ik begonnen met blowen. En om mijn 23e heb ik me laten opnemen bij De Hoop. En ik zeg wel eens zo dat ik in die 9 jaar tijd eigenlijk al bezig was met afkicken. Ik wilde het niet, maar ik deed het wel. En ik was ook in een tweestrijd, want ik geloofde in God. En ik wist dat God te vertrouwen was en ik wist dat God echt was. Dat had ik als kind al. Ik had gewoon een kinderlijk geloof in God. En daardoor voelde ik me ook vaak niet begrepen. En als ik dacht dat ik die doorbraak ervaarde, dan had ik de moed niet of niet de volharding, zeg maar, om door te pakken. Of waren er niet de juiste mensen die mij konden helpen. Waardoor ik me vaak afgewezen voelde en onbegrepen en enorm eenzaam. Dus dan wordt
kun je dat gevoel eens beschrijven van afgewezen, enorm eenzaam? Mm-hmm. Hoe is dat? Dan leef je toch ook in een soort hel?
Ja, het is het gevoel alsof je er niet mag zijn. Dus,
dat is erg.
Ja, ja. En hè, God heeft me echt laten zien dat ik een ontzettend mooi hart heb en dat hij me ontzettend mooi gemaakt heeft. God heeft een plan met je leven, maar de tegenstander heeft ook een plan met je leven. En hij heeft er alles aan gedaan om dat plan tegen te houden.
Ja.
Nou ja, goed, op een gegeven moment, toen zat ik zo diep. Ik heb jarenlang gebeden vanaf mijn 14e, of dat God iemand op mijn pad wilde sturen die me begreep, omdat ik me dus onbegrepen voelde. Mijn vader vond het ook moeilijk om een vader te zijn. En hij heeft ook een hart van goud. Maar als je iets niet geleerd hebt, dan is het ook heel moeilijk om dat uit te dragen. Op een gegeven moment is mijn geestelijk vader op mijn pad gekomen. En mijn geestelijk vader is vroeger een marinier geweest. Een gevangeniscipier. En hij heeft de dood in de ogen gekeken. En hij heeft echt veel gekke dingen meegemaakt. En vroeger ook trouwens bijbelstudie gekregen van Corrie ten Boom en Anne van der Bel. Dus dat vind ik toch best wel bijzonder dat ik zo'n man mag kennen. En doordat ik dus uiteindelijk bij mijn geestelijk vader ben gaan optrekken, heb ik de liefde van Jezus praktisch zichtbaar zien worden. Hij zag de schatten die in mij zaten, die niemand anders wilde zien of die niemand anders kon zien. En die heeft hij naar buiten kunnen halen. En dat raakt je hart. Dat komt, boem, komt je hart binnen en dat gaat voorbij je verstand. En al die leugens die je hebt gehoord en al die stickers die je hebt opgeplakt gekregen. En dan weet je van, hey, dit is God die spreekt. En God is betrokken met me en hij wil niets liever dan mij helpen en mij laten zien dat ik ertoe doe en dat ik het waard ben, zeg maar. En ja, dat heeft mijn leven veranderd. Dat heeft een kentering gebracht in mijn leven. Wat mij geholpen heeft, zeg maar, is dwars tegen alle pijn, verdriet, rotzooi in, zeg maar, blijven bidden. Bijna tegen beter weten in, want zo voelt het.
Dus je gebruikte drugs en toch ging je bidden?
En toch ging ik bidden.
Je deed slechte dingen en toch ging je binnen.
Ja. Nou ja, als ik dan thuis kwam van een feestje, en ik kende veel mensen, en ik dacht dat ik aanzien had, en ik dacht dat ik mensen kende, en ik dacht dat ik macht had, maar als ik thuis kwam, dan voelde ik me leeg en gigantisch eenzaam. En dan bad ik tot God, of dat hij mij wilde helpen om mij eruit te halen, zeg maar.
Ja, maar weet je wat ik zo mooi vind? Dat God de weg met het leven gaat. Hè? Het werd niet gelijk beantwoord, maar uiteindelijk is er wel een antwoord gekomen.
Absoluut.
Een van de mooie momenten in je leven is, hij zat hier een paar maanden geleden op de bank, dat je Henk Storvogel, de man achter de vierde musketier, hoorde spreken.
Ja.
Wat gebeurde daar, Mark?
Ik was 3 weken opgenomen bij De Hoop. En ik kwam bij De Hoop en ik zei, Heer, ik begon te bidden. Ik zei, Heer, ik heb een gigantisch zooitje gemaakt van mijn leven. Wilt u mij laten zien wat uw plan met mijn leven is? Want ik weet het niet meer. Ik heb het geprobeerd. Het heeft me uiteindelijk helemaal niks opgeleverd. Alleen maar een hoop pijn en verdriet. En toen kwam 3 weken later Henk Storvogel, want die kwam spreken over de karakterweekenden. En hij vertelde wat God daar met die mannen doet. En dat mannen opstaan, dat ze hun verantwoordelijkheid nemen. En dat die mannen thuiskomen en dat hun vrouw hun man gewoon niet herkennen in de positieve zin van het woord. Omdat ze gewoon echt veranderd zijn en aangeraakt door God. En dat raakte mij zo, dat bij mij alle bellen gingen rinkelen. Ik hou van de natuur, ik hou van zwaar lichamelijk werk, ik hou van sporten, ik hou van mensen, ik hou van het woord. En ik geloof dat wat ik heb meegemaakt, dat ik dat niet heb meegemaakt om voor mezelf te houden, maar dat ik dat mag delen. En ik dacht van, wauw, dit is het. Ik word buitensportinstructeur, ik ga naar buiten toe en ik ga mannen vertellen over de liefde van Jezus. Want als je Jezus ontmoet, dan verandert alles. God had me aangeraakt en God ging ook verder waar hij gebleven was. En er lagen zegens op mijn leven en God is die zegens gaan poetsen. En ik ben weer gaan glimmen en ik ben gegaan als een speer.
Ik herinner me dat jij ergens op een podium stond te zingen en er stond een heel koor te zingen. En ik zat ervoor en ik zag één iemand zingen die mij raakte en dat was jij. Jij zong met hart en ziel. Dat vond ik heel mooi. Mark, wat een mooi levensverhaal. Wat wil je nou tegen mensen zeggen? Want zoveel lui zijn op zoek. Ja. Op zoek naar waarheid, op zoek naar invulling, op zoek naar vervulling van je leven. Mm-hmm. Wat is je... niet iedereen moet zo'n lange weg gaan, denk ik.
Want, hopelijk niet.
Nee.
Nee. Nee. Wat de werkelijke vervulling geeft. Nou ja, ik kan er heel duidelijk over zijn, heel kort, dat Jezus geeft mij de enige vervulling. Nou, hoe zeg je, die geeft ware vervulling. Ja. En het is niet met Jezus altijd een makkelijk leven. En de Heer heeft ook tegen mij gezegd van, als je met mij leeft, dan zul je ook veel pijn en verdriet zien. Maar er zal altijd meer blijdschap zijn. Er zal altijd meer hoop zijn. Er zal altijd meer leven zijn. En gewoon om alles van God te verwachten. En hem te betrekken in alles wat je doet. Dan zal je vroeg of laat op een gegeven moment zien dat hij zeg maar, alles laat meewerken ten goede. En dat hij echt een goede God is. En dat hij echt van je houdt. En dat hij echt het goede met je voor heeft. Ook al lijkt alles tegen je te keren en het tegendeel te bewijzen.
Wat ik zo leuk vind is dat je zegt van jongens, als je christen bent, dan ben je er niet. Dan begint het pas eigenlijk. Mm-hmm. Het is niet een makkelijke weg, maar je gaat hem niet alleen.
Nee.
Ja, mooi man. Mm-hmm. Ik vind het heel knap, want je bent van ja, iemand die psychotisch was, zwaar verslaafd, werkeloos. Laat ik maar zeggen, een halve crimineel, dan zeg ik het netjes. Mm-hmm. Ben je iemand geworden die nu succesvol is in het leven? Je hebt je cursus buitensportinstructeur succesvol afgerond. Wat is je... Nou ja,
bijna.
Ja. Ik ga er maar vanuit dat je hem succesvol... Zou mij echt tegenvallen als dat niet zo was.
Precies.
Wat is je droom?
Wat mijn ultieme droom is om met een grote groep mensen, en of dat nou mannen zijn of jongeren of ex-gedetineerden, ik weet het niet, maar de Heer gaat het mij laten zien, om met hun naar buiten te gaan en buitensportactiviteiten te ondernemen, maar bovenal een ontmoeting te hebben met Jezus. Want ik geloof dat als je Jezus ontmoet, dan verandert alles. En ik geloof dat God mij ook naar plekken wil sturen waar andere mensen niet meer kunnen komen. Omdat ik daar geweest ben, kan God mij gebruiken. En het gaat niet om mijn kracht, maar het gaat om de geest die in mij is. En die zal de harten van mensen raken. En daar verlang ik naar, om dat werkelijkheid te zien worden. Ik zie het al gebeuren, steeds meer. Maar ik verlang ernaar dat Gods kracht steeds meer zichtbaar zal gaan worden door mijn leven.
Weet je wat ik zo mooi vind? Als ik dan terugdenk aan die foto die we van jou hebben gezien. Ja. Schuw mensenkind. Mm-hmm. Wat je nu bent geworden. In de kracht van je geloof. Mm-hmm. Machtig mooi.
Ja.
Ik vond het zeer inspirerend. Ja. En ik hoop dat je anderen geraakt hebt. Dat weet ik wel zeker.
Ja.
We hebben een cadeautje voor je. Want je kijkt regelmatig naar Hour of Power. Maar dit heb je nog nooit gezien. Want dit is tamelijk nieuw. Dus bemoediging voor iedere week. Okay. En het zijn allemaal mooie teksten. En je kunt ze eruit scheuren. Zoals deze. Dat ga ik nu doen.
Ja.
Vind je het niet erg? Want dan is je kalender.
Ik ben heel benieuwd.
Oké.
Moet ik hem voorlezen?
Ja.
Je zou eens moeten zien hoe God jou ziet.
Zo. Ja. En hij zag je al voordat jij dacht, hoe ziet hij mij?
Ja.
En je afgewezen voelde. Mm-hmm. Alsjeblieft.
Hartstikke bedankt.
En het boekje van Bobby Schoelen, Een rotsvast geloof.
Ja.
Nou, dat vind ik echt van jou. Mark, broertje.
Ja,
hey, Jan. Ga je goed, hè?
Yes.
Even drukken.
Hey. Kom op.
Dat was een verloren zaak. Gelukkig niet. Ik mag gewoon door blijven presenteren. Wij gaan luisteren naar een oproep aan u.
Nou, Gods liefde betekent alles voor me. Dat zit zo diep in me. En ik ben daar zo dankbaar en zo blij mee. Het gaat alle dagen met me mee. Ja, God is de God die in me leeft. En daar ben ik heel blij mee. Ik voel die liefde eigenlijk altijd. Ook in hele moeilijke tijden is dat de kracht geweest om er doorheen te groeien. Te accepteren dat het is zoals het is. En ik voel me echt een heel dankbaar mens dat ik het zo mag ervaren. Dat is de grond toch wel die ik in mijn leven heb. Nou, ik hoop dat de kijker van Hour of Power eenzelfde fijn gevoel kan ervaren als dat ik altijd heb. Als ik de televisie aanzet en ze beginnen met de mooie muziek, ja, daar word ik helemaal blij van. Dat is een enorm liefdesgevoel. Bobby heeft een enorm enthousiasme om het op een hele mooie manier te leiden en ons die liefde mee te geven. Ik ben Maria Schreuder en ik geloof in liefde.
I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you to every single Dutch viewer who has continued to support us and our ministry. You know, my desire and my belief is to reach the next generation. Hour of Power has done an amazing job at reaching both old and young audiences, reaching people who are hurting and who are suffering, going right into the homes of people when they need hope and encouragement. And we want you to know that those of you who have supported us through these many years, you have made that possible. God, you are God's gift to us and to the many people that need a word of encouragement, because Hour of Power continues to change lives and give hope to hurting people. Our slogan is, Omdat we geloven in liefde, because we believe in love. And that is the truth. We love you, and we want you to know that God's love is reaching literally millions of lives around the world because you've loved us and supported us. So we want to say thank you from all of us to you. God loves you, and so do we. God houdt van jou, en ik ook.
Wonderful. Brilliant. How are we doing?
Great.
Good. All right. That's what I like to hear. So when I was in fifth grade, I wanted a Sony Walkman. And the opportunity presented itself to me. There was this guy that came to our school who was essentially, you know, employing children to make money for his chocolate company. And he basically brought in this chocolate and he encouraged the students from our school to sell the chocolate in order to raise money to get prizes. And as I realized later, I was drumming up like hundreds of dollars for this guy and for my school so I could get a $10 Walkman. At any rate, it seemed totally worth it at the time. Maybe some of you feel that way in your jobs. Anyway, so I had this box of chocolate, these mint chocolates, and I was walking around our neighborhood. It was hot outside. We lived in Chatsworth. Super hot. And I'm walking around with my chocolates, selling chocolate. I'm way far from home. I get super thirsty. And I just have nothing to drink. I'm so thirsty. I'm going door to door asking people to buy my chocolates to support my church. And I get so thirsty, I get the dumb idea that maybe I should eat some of my chocolate. So I dig in and I start eating chocolate, and it doesn't dissolve. It just turns into brown gunk in my mouth. And now I've just gone from being thirsty to really suffering. So I'm walking around with like chocolate in my mouth. Somebody knocks on the door and I go, "Hello, would you like to buy some chocolate?" There's sweat coming down my face, and I'll never forget this old lady. One time I knocked on the door. She must have seen it on my face because she didn't even say anything. She left the door open, and she came back with a tall glass of ice water with a little, like, bead of water coming down the side, you know, a little frost around the edges. And I just was like, you know, drank the water. And I'll never forget, when you're that thirsty, nothing is as good as a tall drink of ice-cold water. Can I get an amen, people? There is something about being thirsty. And so today, I want to begin with that story because I want you to think of a time in which you were just so thirsty. You felt so thirsty, you would have done anything for a glass of water. That is the human condition. Our souls are thirsty. They're thirsty. They need to drink something. There's something in the heart of every human being that is thirsty, that wants to drink. You have a desire and you wonder, how can this ever be satiated? Today we're continuing a series on the Psalms. And the Psalms, today we're talking about the Psalms of longing. Psalms of longing are the Psalms in which David or one of the psalmists says, "Lord, I long for you, I desire you." This reverberating from the heart that I want God, I need God, and yet an almost desperate heart that can't seem to attain or acquire God in its wanting. In Psalm chapter 63, which was read today, David says, "You, God, are my God. Diligently I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole body longs for you in a dry and parched land." You hear the thirst. There's just David's just complete desire is to want and to be with and to experience God to the fullest. David, at this time when he's writing the psalm, was being chased by his own son. He was king. He was an older guy now. He was well established. And his son Absalom decided he was going to take his father's throne, created an uprising. And now David is an exiled king in the desert of Judah. And this psalm comes out of him where it's like, you almost hear him just saying, "I'm just sick of this. God, I just want you. I just want you. I'm so sick of being thirsty and hungry all the time. Where are you? I need to drink of you. My whole body longs for you. I thirst for my God." Have you ever felt that way? Especially for you who are believers, you've been in the church a long time and you've been walking and following God diligently, and yet you find yourself in a place where you're going through the rhythms, you do the same rote thing over and over, and yet your thirst is not quenched. And you say, "God, where are you? I'm thirsty for you." Anyone feel that way? You just desire to be just plunged into God's presence and experience Him like you used to. And though not all of us know what we're thirsty for, all of us are thirsty for the same thing. we're thirsty for God. It's like every human heart is a vacuum. Think of a vacuum cleaner. Like, think of the ones like when you go to the gas station with just that big nozzle and it's just, you know, like this is what very often the unsettled, hurried, desperate heart is like. It becomes like a vacuum cleaner that no matter where you go, there is this giant sucking sound as you desire to draw just about anything into your life that will appease this thirst that you carry with you. Blaise Pascal recognized this. He had a conversion from his head into his heart, where he truly experienced God, not because of some rational thought, not because he worked the math out, but because something deep and relational happened between he and God. He went from learning about God to experiencing God. And man, let me tell you, there's a big difference. There's a big difference. And Pascal was famous for saying, all of us have within our hearts a hole that is in the shape of God. That only God fits in that hole, like an incomplete puzzle piece. The most beautiful part of the piece in the middle is missing. And God is that piece. Friends, some of you are searching, you're longing, and you don't know what you're looking for. You are thirsting for God, and He's waiting for you. If you would just have faith and reach out to Him. St. Augustine, who was one of Pascal's biggest influencers, St. Augustine was from Africa, and he also had this experience where he came to faith in the 5th century through his head, but not in his heart, and eventually had this incredible experience with God, where he realized that something deeper had to happen. It couldn't just be in his head. He had to have a complete experience of God's love, life, and presence. And then he said these famous words, "Our hearts are restless till they rest in Him." Our hearts are restless till they rest in Him. Our hearts are thirsty till they drink of Him. Our hearts are hungry till they eat of Him. You will never stop searching until you find God. He is the final destination. And you look into other things for life. You look into other things to be satiated. You look into other things for peace. You will not find them until you find God. And when you find God and experience Him to the fullest, your whole life will be transformed. But you can't just learn about God. You have to experience Him. You can't just read about Him. You have to be with Him. You have to be baptized in His Spirit. And until that happens, you will remain hungry, and you will remain thirsty, and you will remain restless. But God offers us true peace, true life. Too often, when we have this feeling of hunger and thirst in our life, we turn to other things, usually good things, and they become idols. And so we turn to things like even friendships become a way that we try and fill that void. And entertainment becomes a way that we fill that void. And shopping becomes a way to fill that void. Work becomes a way we fill that void. Very often it becomes substance. It becomes sex. It becomes other things that we think, if I get enough of this, we think someday if I get this thing, well then it'll be filled. It won't be. Not until you find, and not just find, but experience God to the fullest. Psalm 27 then, we ask the question, well, what do I do? I find myself thirsty. I find myself wanting to turn to these things. What do I do? Psalm 27 gives us the answer. It finishes with this word, wait for the Lord, take heart. Wait for the Lord, take heart. The first thing that we have to understand is when you are on the life raft, don't drink the salt water. Wait. Wait for fresh water. It's coming. Very often, the process of waiting to experience God is the very thing that helps us grow as individuals. Living in the midst of the hunger and in the midst of the thirst very often is the thing that causes us to grow, to become the kind of people that can be world changers. Winter is an important part of the life of any plant. We don't like winter in America, do we? We want summer and fall all the time. We want to be harvesting, harvesting, harvesting. We even do that to our food, and it's a sign of our spiritual place where we decide to use
anything we can to make food big, plump, and, you know, harvest all the time. You know, for us, if you want to be healthy, winter is an important part of the life of every plant. It's that famous axiom that things don't grow on the mountaintop, right? They only grow in the valley. Very, very often, the times when we're the most thirsty for God is the time when God is changing us and working in us in some of the best ways. And we oftentimes don't see it when we're there, but when we look back, we recognize God was doing a work in my life. Friends, if that's where you are, don't drink the salt water. Be patient. I am convinced that impatience is the greatest enemy to happiness in the modern world today. Nobody's willing to wait. Nobody's willing to be patient. Everybody's always in a hurry, and you're never present. When you're with family on a beautiful night, you're thinking about work tomorrow. Be present with your family. When you're waiting on whatever it is, we want to move into a house. We want to hear back from it, you know? And I find myself like not being happy because I want to know about my house, right? And this is me too. All of us, we live in this reality of constant hurry and impatience. We want to know what tomorrow holds, but when we arrive at tomorrow, we're looking to the next day. It's like there's this deli we go to, and there's a sign on the wall, and it says, free beer tomorrow. So every time you go in, you know, it just says, free beer tomorrow. And that's how many of our lives are. We're constantly living in tomorrow. We're impatient. We get mad at God because he doesn't work like a microwave. He's not a drive-through kind of God. Waiting on the Lord and living in the thirst is an important part of growing as a disciple to Jesus. Can I get an amen? Sometimes, however, waiting on the Lord does become a rut. And I want to speak to that too. Because in that same line from Psalm 27, he says, wait on the Lord. But after that, he says, be strong, take heart. Be strong and take heart. Take heart means to be like courageous. Take heart means do something brave. And for many of us, the valley, if you've been there a long time, some of you are saying, Bobby, I've been here a long time. Then I have a word for you. Don't wait anymore. Stop waiting. For some of you who your valley has become a rut, it's probably because it's time to do something brave. It's time to do something courageous. Many of you have never shared your faith with anyone in your whole life. Many of you have never prayed with a stranger going through difficult times. Can I tell you something? As a believer, there are few things in this world that give me more life than seeing the light of the Holy Spirit come into somebody's eyes. If you want something to bring you out of a rut, share your faith with someone. You're like, oh, no, sir. Fine, enjoy the rut. Look, I'm telling you that God teaches us, God nurtures us so that we are trained to be world changers. Being a world changer is not comfortable. The Great Commission is not easy. It's a scary thing. Jesus tells his disciples, leave your home, leave your stuff, and go to a distant land. It's going to be very dangerous. You live in a world in which you can be murdered and robbed. And I just want you to go, and I want you to die as a martyr and share your faith. If the first thing you're thinking about when it comes to sharing your faith or praying with a stranger or something like that, if you think to yourself, that would be socially awkward, you're the perfect person to do it because you understand social norms. You'll do it the right way. In fact, the guy that probably doesn't need to do it is like, heck yeah, I'm going out there, I'm going to pray for everybody, I'm going to witness to everyone. That's the guy that you're like, just, you know what, go on retreat and just chill out for a while. It's the person who's like, that's really scary. I don't know what I would say. That would be weird. You're going to be the right person because you understand social norms. But it still takes courage. But you'll do it the right way. I know because ever since I sent out the invitation, next time somebody says they're doing okay, you ask them what's wrong. They tell you what's wrong. You say, can I pray for you? I've had like four of you tell me that you actually did it. I'm proud of you. Good job. And all of them were awesome stories. And you know, all four of those people, it was really hard to say, can I pray for you?
Like, it was like really hard to say that, right? But friends, if you are in a rut, if you have been in an eternal winter, it's time to do something brave for God. And I don't mean like, you know, jump off a cliff or something. That's brave for you. You know, I mean, share your faith with someone. I mean, offer to pray with someone who's suffering. I mean, to give a gift to a neighbor or someone who is in need that's a scary amount. I mean, doing something that is a big risk, and it's not for you, it's for God. I remember when I was in high school, and I decided, after leading the first person ever to faith, that it was like an addiction, like telling people about Jesus. It brought me so much life. The thing that was amazing about it was I first started with the sort of like, you know, somewhat popular kids in the school, you know, and the nice kids, and they just were not interested in my religion. But when I talked to a heroin addict at her school who was in the occult, she loved what I was talking about. And then I realized God's called me to witness to the bad kids. And I remember like one of the first guys that was really following me, he was the drug dealer in our school. And he didn't quit dealing drugs when he started following me. He was following me around and talked to me about the Bible. And he's like, hang on one second, I gotta make a deal, I'll be right back. And he'd come back. I just kind of lived in that, you know. But I found that when I went to college and I stopped being around the bad kids and I stopped witnessing and sharing my faith, that I entered into a winter in my life. Very often, the only way you're going to get out of your rut is if you act in faith and do something brave for God. Do something brave for God today. Do it right now. Do something brave for the Lord, and you will drink of his water again. God honors those who take faith and trust in him and not in themselves. He blesses them with his spirit. He blesses them with favor and with his power because they're doing his work. Do something brave for the Lord today. Am I right? Doing something brave for God. Doing something brave for God brings life to us. So some of you, especially if you're in ministry, you need to stop and wait. You know who you are. Some of us, we need to wait. We need to live in the thirst. But if you've been thirsty for a long time, it's time to activate the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. Would you bow your heads with me? I want to invite everyone who's in this church today and everyone watching on television, if you want to know the Lord, to pray this prayer with me. And even if you're already a believer, pray this prayer with me. Father in heaven, I am thirsty for you. Forgive me of my sins. Make me your student. Give me your Holy Spirit. And teach me what it means to live your life. In Jesus' name. Amen. I hope that you were encouraged when you came today. And I hope you leave here finding a way to satiate your thirst for God, that you recognize truly that God's life is available to you. It's out there, out those doors, as soon as you go, that you can drink of the living water of Jesus. That's truly my prayer for you today. And so now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord give you his peace in your coming in and your going out, in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus on that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.
My parents had no idea that I was going to be born without arms or legs.
You don't know what God can do with your broken pieces until you give God your broken pieces.
I was the only one that I ever saw without limbs. And I'm like, wow, God, if you had a plan for the blind man, you do have a plan for me.
September 23 is Nick Vugovic in ons land en hij heeft als thema Unstoppable Faith, geloof dat niet te stoppen is. En ik weet dat heel veel jongeren ook naar deze bijeenkomst komen. Noteer het en meld je aan, want ik denk dat er een race is op de kaarten. Boris Schuller sprak over het feit dat een glas water, koelwater iets is waar je naar kunt verlangen als het heel heet is. Nou, ik hoop op een hele hete zomer voor de mensen die op vakantie gaan. En in Spreuken staat, een goede tijding uit een ver land is als een beker koelwater voor een dorstige ziel. Spreuken 25 vers 25. Wij nemen afscheid. We wensen iedereen een heel fijne week toe. En we hopen tot volgende week bij Hour of Power. Ons adres is www.hourofpower.nl. Blijf met ons in contact. Thank you.